Good Friday is part of a three-day set of services called the Triduum, from Maundy Thursday to Good Friday to Holy Saturday. One unit concerning the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow night at 9 o'clock for the Easter Vigil Communion Service, and then, of course, the Easter services as well. During this penitential time of year, we do not sing the Gloria after we chant the psalm. We omit the Gloria. And before we begin, I invite you to follow along in the back of the worship folder. This explains the tenebrae service this evening. This service is patterned after the ancient office of tenebrae. The Latin word tenebrae means darkness. The purpose of this service is to impress upon us the terrible reality of sin, which caused our Savior to die for us. A total of 8 candles are used in this service. 7 of the candles on the altar represent the 7 last sentences which our Savior spoke from the cross. And the 8th candle is the Christ candle, which will process and recess into the sanctuary. As the 7 candles on the altar are extinguished one by one, causing the chancel to be increasingly darkened, we remember the darkness that covered the earth at the time our Lord spoke these words at his crucifixion. It's also a reminder of the spiritual darkness of the world, and that Jesus is the light of the world. And the exit of the Christ candle at the close of the service signifies Christ's death and burial. And when I lift the book several inches from the altar and slam it on the altar at the close of the service, this loud closing sound symbolizes the stone that was rolled over the entrance to the tomb by the soldiers. And then we will leave in silence. With the sealed tomb, the meaning of the cross is fulfilled, the sacrifice completed. Jesus' body rests in the tomb for the Saturday Sabbath, and the Christ candle is not extinguished at any time during the service. It is symbolic of the eternal light of God's love in Jesus, eternal Son of God. Though evil had its hour, the light of God's love continues to shine for all eternity. And join us here on Saturday and Sunday to rejoice in the glorious message of the risen Christ. God bless our holy meditation on this Good Friday. Let us sing the hymn Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted of God, hymn 451 in your hymnal, during which time the Christ candle will process. We stand to sing hymn 451.
Yeah.
Friday, Psalm 22. Turn to the front of your hymnal, Psalm 22. You'll chant verses 1 through 19 responsively with the choir.
That we should desire him, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand for the gospel. Gospel lesson in St. John, the 19th chapter, the Passion account of our Lord. Jesus went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated as we sing the first four verses of the 4-5 O Sacred Head, now in the
Amen. You have heard the words of David in Psalm 22, which we sang. You've heard the words of Isaiah 52 and 53.
David wrote in 1000 BC. Isaiah wrote in 700 BC. 1,000 years before the events of Good Friday, David and Isaiah give us a virtual photograph and movie of the events of this day. Christ saying, my God, what have you forsaken me? They pierce his hands and feet. They cast lots for his clothing. He's thirsty. He's given burial in a rich man's grave. And most importantly, Isaiah explains the significance of this event. The shepherd is dying for the sheep. The Lamb of God without blemish is dying for all of us sheep who are filled with sin and blemish. What God foretold in Genesis chapter 3 was fulfilled on this night. The one who has come to crush the head of the serpent, but by crushing the head of the serpent, Jesus was pierced in hands and feet and side and upon his brow with the crown of thorns. When you, in a moment, hear the seven last sentences, if you will, of Christ on the cross, you're going to hear a compilation of what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record of the events of the first Good Friday. And when our Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," there should be a lightning bolt, thunder, and timpani, because this is the apex of all of history. All of history finds its meaning in both the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the bedrock of the Christian faith. You're about to hear what Christ has done for you from the cross. When he says first, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," here we see the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Jesus speaking to his Father in the power of the Holy Spirit is forgiving the very people who were driving the nails in him. While they're driving the nails in him, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Christ forgives you in your repentant heart of sins of thought, word, and deed, for you do not know what you do either. And you need these same words of Jesus for you. "Father, forgive you, forgive me, forgive us, for we know not what we do." Then when Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," here he gives the gift of paradise to the thief hanging next to him. This man had done no good works. He was a thief. He was being crucified. He confessed his sin to Jesus. "Jesus, you've done nothing wrong. Remember me in your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus came for sinners. If you're not a sinner, you're in the wrong place. Jesus didn't come for holy people and for righteous people. He came for sinners. And if you're a sinner, he came for you. He came for this thief, and he comes for you. And you know, the word paradise means the new heavenly Garden of Eden, where we eat the tree of life. His promise to you as you come with repentant hearts and have faith in Christ. Then when Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother," you see that he cares for his mother Mary and his apostle John. We are the church. We're the community of Christ. We're the body of Christ, baptized into his body, his true temple. We care for one another, and even Jesus, in his dying pain, is concerned about his mother and his best friend. "Behold your son, behold your mother." We are his brothers and sisters in the church. "Behold one another and have mercy upon one another," Jesus says. And then when Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is what that means. The second Adam has taken on himself the sins of all of mankind, which began at the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. As our substitute, as our redeemer, as our intercessor, he for a moment in time literally experienced hell. The Father withdrew his presence from his Son. Jesus was experiencing the wrath of God, and he was not kidding when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the times that you have been felt forsaken by God, Jesus knows what that is like. And he has taken the punishment we deserved upon himself. And now his heavenly Father has mercy on you and will never forsake you. And when Jesus says, I thirst, we see that Jesus, as true man who shares our flesh and blood, knows that we need water to drink. He was thirsty. We need water for our bodies, but we need the river of life, the water of Christ Jesus, which only can quench our thirsting soul. He gives you the water of life the world cannot give you. You can try everything the world gives you. It will never quench your thirst. Only Jesus Christ can quench that thirst and give you the water of life that bubbles up unto everlasting life. And when Jesus says, it is finished, completely paid in full, our redemption, our justification, our atonement, the propitiation payment in his blood, which means the payment has been made in full. You cannot add to a payment that has been made in full. Cling to those words. My salvation is completed and finished in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. You will have the gift of eternal life. And when Jesus finally says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, bows his head and gives up his spirit to the Father, he is showing what it will be like when we die. There's nothing to be afraid of in death. For when our time comes, we too will say, my Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work of my salvation. I am ready to die, Lord. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And we too can fall asleep in Jesus and in peace. This night, put all the cares of this world away. And as we go through the seven words of Christ on the cross, focused on his love for you, these seven sentences from our Lord Jesus Christ, the work is completed and finished. May your spirit this night rest in your heavenly Father through the merits of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Sing verses 5 through 7, hymn 450.
Thank you.
out and place them in the basket, the narthex, as you leave. We now collect the offerings.
Stand to pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. You willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross and remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and redemption from everlasting death through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Tenebrae, the seven words from the cross. You may be seated.
The first word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him, wine vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." We sing hymn 447, verses 1 through 3.
From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
We sing hymn 447, verses 7 through 9.
Thank you.
the sixth word, "It is finished." When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished."
Thank you.
Now it was the day of preparation. The next day was a Sabbath. Because the Jews did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw this has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And another scripture, they will look on the one they have pierced. The curtain of the temple had been torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. When a centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for him. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. As the evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb, that he had cut out from the rock, and rolled a large stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting opposite the tomb. The chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tombs to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Make the tomb as secure as you know how." They went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.